Well, good evening. Dominic, in his prayer, I believe he said it was good and a miracle that we're here by God's grace today. This week has been an interesting week for me, and it's shaped the message that I have for us tonight. This past week, I was having some pains in my chest, and the pains were shooting into my left arm. And I had, as a result, some nausea and some difficulties with deep breathing. Naturally, my fears were piqued, and as I talked to my wife, Carissa, here, about what was happening to my body, she was rightly concerned. Classic symptoms of what a heart attack would be. Every time I looked on symptoms of heart attacks and to see if I was one of those with a heart attack, everything matched up. So on Monday, we decided to go into the ER to get checked out. Fearing the worst, I was expecting at the worst, you know, maybe bypass surgery or maybe better, something like angioplasty, which is less invasive, and put a stent in my heart. We were fearful about not being insured and the financial ruin that could result as a result of having surgery or something like that. But we went into the ER and got tests, and they hooked me up to an EKG machine. They put those nodes on me, and they took my blood to see if there were those enzymes from a heart attack that would show that I'd been having a heart attack. And we were there for several hours, and the doctor finally came back and said that there were no signs that I had a heart attack. But it makes you realize the importance of your heart. Without your heart beating, you will be dead. You only have one heart, and if it stops, and if you have a problem with it, your fundamental life has ended. The scriptures talk about our hearts. It says that our hearts are deceitful above all things and that they're desperately sick. David in Psalm 51 says that he was born in sin, that he was sick from the very beginning of life. We have a great need for a heart doctor who can help us with this need, with our sick hearts. We need to be placed on a spiritual type of EKG to test, to see if we're sick, if we need help, if we need a doctor. And we all do. We come into this world needing a doctor. 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us that we are to test ourselves to see if we are in the faith. We're to examine ourselves. And then it says, do you not recognize this, that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail the test? We need to test ourselves to see if we are in the faith. Tonight, I'd like us to turn to Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36. In my experience in this past week has led me to this passage and brought my thoughts to this passage. And what we see is our example of a wicked heart in the nation of Israel, the chosen people of God, the Hebrews, the Jews. They have different names throughout the scriptures, but they're the people of God. As you turn there, let me just talk a little bit about who these people of God are and what they represent. These chosen people of God, the nation of Israel, was called to represent the Lord God to the world, so that when people would see them, that they would see how different and unique the Lord God was. They were also there to bring light and salvation to the world through the Lord. but they were also called just to be a different type of people. The world is a dangerous place, and it has need of a people that sets themselves apart to draw people to the Lord. But as we look in this history of the people of God, we see from the very beginning, from Abraham, who's the father of this great nation, we see how dysfunctional and how sinful they are. From Abraham, who has Isaac, who has Jacob, who is deceitful and really very wicked and dysfunctional. And he has children who are dysfunctional. And I talked last week a little bit about Joseph and how dysfunctional his brothers were, and even he was dysfunctional. If you put an EKG to the people of God, the Israelites in this book, you see that they have some huge problems. Their heart is wicked. And we come to this time in the time of Ezekiel, just before the time of Ezekiel, about 600 years before Jesus was born. And you have kings that are doing these wicked things. They've returned to the ways of the people in the land before them who sacrificed children to gods. And these kings, Ahaz and Manasseh in particular, Manasseh was sacrificing children to these gods, to these idols. So as a result, because of a covenant, a contract that the people of God had with the Lord, the Lord sent them away into a far country that was not their own, to a people who were perhaps even more wicked and cruel than they. And we see this tonight as we see in this passage something of a wicked heart in the people of God. And then we see within it ourselves, people with wicked hearts who need transformed, changed, and new hearts. But look at verse 16 through 18 with me from Ezekiel chapter 36. And we're going to see, just in these first few verses, the symptoms of a wicked heart, of a wicked people. I'm going to start in verse 15. It reads, "The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, 'And you, son of man, take for yourself one—'" I'm in the wrong place. Forgive me. I'm going to start in verse 16. That was in chapter 37. It reads, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their way before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstruation. Therefore I poured out my wrath on them for the blood which they had shed on the land, because they had defiled it with their idols.'" These are the symptoms of a wicked heart. Deeds that were displeasing not only to the Lord, but displeasing to the land, displeasing to the nations that were around about. There's two graphic images in this passage of what these sins did to the land. The first was the blood of a menstruation of a woman. And the second is almost worse, and it doesn't even come out. They didn't even translate it in the English, but these idols. The land is being made unclean by these idols, which this word says, a pile of dung. A pile of manure. We're making this land unclean because we're sacrificing children to other gods. This is a graphic picture that the people of God, these people chosen to bring light to the nations, they had made this land unclean, desperately sick. But we too have symptoms of a desperately sick and deceitful and wicked heart. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, he says, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, come murders, adulteries, sex outside of marriage, thefts, False witness, lying, slander. Who of us does not have evil hearts? Some of us have committed some of these other things, adulteries, sexual immoralities. Some of us, I imagine all of us, have committed theft. I imagine all of us have lied. All of us have slandered and spoken ill of people. At Romans 3:23 that says, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have an evil heart, a wicked heart. We're born with wicked hearts. And all of us are in desperate need for a heart doctor, a cardiologist, to heal us, to bring us a heart that can function. But look also at the consequences of a bad heart in verses 19 through 21. It reads, also I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands according to their ways and their deeds I judged them. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, these are the people of God, yet they have come out of this land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Now, I obviously didn't have a heart attack this week, but there are consequences to heart attacks. There can be damage to a heart, and even death can result as a result of a heart attack. For the people of God, the consequences of their sin are listed in two ways here in this passage. The first is what we talked about, that the people were sent to a faraway country. You see, the Lord had entered into a contract with his people, into a covenant, and he said, if you follow and obey me and my commands, and if you seek after me, I will bless you and I will bring you blessings in this land in which I've called you, this little piece of land in modern-day Israel. But if you disobey me and if you seek after other gods, after other idols, I'm going to send you to a nation far away, a place that isn't your home, and there you will be rebuked and chastened. But I will bring you back after you have returned to me with all of your heart. So these people were sent out, and they were tested and tried. And this is where we find the message of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is speaking to these people who are far away from their home, in a place they don't desire to be, in a situation which is difficult, and a place that they long to get away from. But the heart of the Lord is not just to punish them and to leave them there. His heart is to restore them and to bring them back. He wants to purge from his people rebels and those who continue to sin against him. So that is a consequence of their sin, and we also have consequences of our own evil heart. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin, the penalty, the payment that we give for sin is our death. We come into this world as sinners in need of a Savior, a heart doctor to restore us, to change us, to transform us. But there's a second consequence listed in this passage, and that's that the Lord God's name is tarnished among the peoples. The nations see and they say, and in verse 20 it says that they say that these are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of this land. They've been sent out of this land. And they start to think, the nations, they see this and they think, did God abandon his people? What happened to this supposed faithful love that the people of the Lord spoke of? Or perhaps they thought, was the Lord unable to deliver his people? Were our gods better and bigger than the Lord God spoken of by the Israelites, the God that we speak of today? See, the problem is that in the minds of the people, the Lord God was drawn down from his holy name. Holiness is to be distinct and to be different, to be unique. But this God, because of the deeds of the people of the nations began to see them and to think, this God is no different than our God. He's the same. He's able to do certain things, but he's unable to do things when we need him. We do the same thing as those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we live lives that aren't honoring and glorifying to the Lord. Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, he says that we are to let our light shine before men in such a way that they might see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 12, it says to let your behavior be excellent among the nations, among the Gentiles, so that in the ways they slander you, they might see your good deeds and glorify the Lord in the time that he returns. But as we don't let our light shine before men, and we don't continue to live lives that produce good deeds, we tarnish the name of the Lord in the eyes of people. People continually complain about the church, hypocrites. Christians are hypocrites. And they think the Lord is not powerful. The Lord is no good. So why is this important? Why is it important that the Lord's name is profaned, made common? Is he an egotistical God who's concerned just with himself? No, that's not the way it is. See, the problem is that if people don't see the Lord as different and distinct, they won't turn to him. And salvation is found in the Lord God alone. Only the Lord can offer the needs of our hearts and the hearts of those around us. Only the Lord can bring balance and order to this disastrous world we live in. He is holy, he is unique, and he alone is the Lord God. But now the rest of this passage, we see the restoration of the damage. And as we go through these restorations, we see that everything that the people of God did to dishonor themselves, to dishonor their land, to dishonor their God, is reversed. And as we think about that, I want us to think about as well that the damage that we have done in our lives, the things that we have tarnished, and the way that we have tarnished the name of the Lord can restore this. The Lord can restore the years that the locusts have eaten, as Joel says. The things that Satan meant for evil in your lives, the Lord wants to turn and make for good. And so in verse, 22 through 23, we find these words. It says, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which you have profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight." The Lord first, he restores his holy name. You see, our sin can change the world's perception of the Lord, but it will never, ever change the reality of the character and the holiness of our great God. People will in the end see how great and glorious our God truly is. So the guilt that we have can be restored and changed. But then in verse 24, we see that these people are restored to the land. They will be restored to the land. In verse 24, "For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. You see, these people had been scattered about into the world, but the Lord said he would gather them back into their land that he had promised them. And indeed, in history, after this was written, after Ezekiel was written to the people who were in exile, in the year 539 before Christ, 539 years before Christ, one of the kings of Babylon, King Cyrus, made a decree that the Jews would return to their land. And so after 70 years of being in these nations that were not their home, they were returned according to the promises of the Lord. But that's a little bit of the easy part, isn't it? I mean, the nations might see this and they might think, well, our gods can do all sorts of things like this too. But the hard part comes in verse 25, the parts that these gods cannot do. They have no power or authority to do this. And I think of Jesus when he heals a paralytic. He says to him before he heals him, he says, brother, your sins are forgiven. And then the people say, who can forgive your sins but God alone? And he says, Jesus says, what is it, harder to say that your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? And then he says to the brother, he says, get up and walk. And this man who couldn't walk, walks. So Jesus, he's saying that the healing of this man is easier than the forgiveness of the sins. But only the Lord God can forgive sins. Just read with me in verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. This is a God who cleanses us from our filth. Cleanses us from that pile of dung that we spoke of before. And this is what he does today. It says in 1 John 1 verse 9, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to cleanse us from all that pollution that we've brought to our bodies. All that pollution that we've brought to our lives, he will cleanse us. But not only does he do that, he fundamentally transforms us. We spoke about at the beginning about how important the heart is to our lives. How if your heart stops pumping, you will have no life. And it's the same with our spiritual lives. If our hearts are like stone, if they're a stone, they do not beat, they do not pump the blood that we need into our lives. If our spiritual heart is dead, we are spiritually dead. But thanks be to God that if we turn to him in the sickness of our hearts, he is a great heart doctor, he is a great cardiologist, he is a great restorer and physician of our souls, who will not just give us a band-aid or a patch or a pill, but he will take that heart of stone out of our hearts and he will replace it with a heart that gives us life forever. We were once dead in our transgressions and sins, it says in Colossians 2, but we have been made alive with him through the forgiveness of sins. Because he has taken our debt of sin, that wage of sin that we have talked about, and he's nailed it upon the cross for all who would believe and turn to him. We're given new hearts. Our desires are changed. Our wills are changed by the Lord God. But not only this, we're given new spirit, a new spirit. The spirit of the living God is given to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see what this does in verse 27, it says, I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. We will be given an ability that we never had before to obey the decrees of the Lord, the commands of the Lord. But not only that, we'll be given the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians 5 speaks of. We'll be given this ability to do things that we've never been able to do in our own power, to be loving and to be joyful, to be peaceful, to be patient and kind. These are things we have not in our power, but only in the power of the Spirit of the Lord upon us. And it's also spoken of in the Scriptures that as the Spirit of the Lord God comes upon us, we're given a gift, a spiritual gift, to build up the body of Christ for His glory and for His kingdom. A gift that in our own power we don't have, but only in His power are we given a gift. So I want to ask you tonight, where are you? Where are you? 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us to test yourselves. Put that EKG machine and test your heart to see if you're of the Lord. Examine yourselves. Because Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail the test. If you put that EKG machine and the little blip goes and goes out of whack, you know that you need a doctor. You need a heart doctor to fix your heart. Perhaps you have a stone heart. Perhaps you haven't accepted the Lord God into your heart. Your heart is dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You're born dead in your trespasses and sins and must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you might be sick. You've received that heart transplant that's spoken of. You've been given a new heart, but you haven't treated that heart the way you know you ought to have. You've put things into your spiritual body that have destroyed that heart, and you're sickly. You must repent and return to the Lord your God. You must cast aside all your sin and cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all tempted in many ways to flee from the Lord, to go in ways that our flesh would lead us, but draw back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps your heart is vibrant, and if you put your EKG on your spiritual heart, you would see a good graph. When I went to the doctor and saw my EKG and saw that everything, according to my eyes, looked good, normal, it made me comfortable in ways that I wouldn't have been with the pains that I was having, the fears that I was having. It drew back the fears that I was having. So you may be one of those with a vibrant heart, a vibrant heartbeat, a vibrant life. And there's trials in the midst of that vibrant life. But cast yourself ever more upon the Lord. Draw near to Him. Let your heart doctor continue to treat you and to let you walk firmly in full of life, abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, if you need prayer for some of these things, if you want to seek counsel, I'm available. Dominic's available. He'd be happy to pray with you, to care for you. We love you, men. We care for you. And we want your hearts to be healthy, to be this vibrant, life-giving heart, for your sins to be forgiven and your debts to be free. Turn to the Lord and draw near to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, infuse us with your heart. Pour out your Spirit upon us that we might live in obedience to you. Lord, give us the courage and the wisdom to live lives that are honoring and glorifying to you, and to treat this heart that you've given to us with the freedom that you have given to us in wisdom and in love. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.